Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only.
Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hello, everybody. My name is Ray. Welcome to the Evangelical Dark Web. Today, we're going to be discussing James White and his reasons for ducking or not debating Stephen Wolfe. Now, this has been called into question by John Harris, who pointed out, hey, you're debating Corey Mailer of the Stone Choir podcast, but you would not dare debate Stephen Wolfe. And a lot of people are saying the same things. People are starting to murmur, and they're not unjustified in their murmuring. This is something to murmur about. This is someone who is a bit of a debate me bro. That is why James White is a thing. He is a debate me bro, and he won't debate Stephen Wolfe bro. And Stephen Wolfe is a thoughtful Christian leader, Christian nationalist thought leader. And he's a very soft-spoken, gentle guy. Like, I met him in person, had him on a channel for an interview. He's definitely not, he does not give the supervillain vibes that people ascribe to him. So this is who James White doesn't want to debate, but he does want to debate Corey Mahler, which I think is, it says a lot, because he, the way he disagrees with believers and the way he disagrees with people that are not believers is kind of disparate, and the way he treats brothers in Christ is sometimes worse than how he treats abject pagans. So this is a pretty interesting observation. He has his reasons or excuses, however you want to look at them. I'll let you decide, but I'll probably throw my own weight in as we listen. But first, we'll let you know, Christian News and Commentary Ministry, that is what Evangelical Dark Web is. We have a Patreon-like system. I also have a book, Winning Not Winsome, 10 Commandments of Spiritual Warfare. But the least you can do is like this video, subscribe to the channel, to the podcast, if you are new. So this is the, I guess, the latest Dividing Line episode, whatever, I guess. And we're going to listen to it at 1.5 speed, starting with the John Harris name drop.
Did this. John Harris pulled this off. He said, if you refuse to dialogue with Stephen Wolfe, but you'll talk to someone with a cartoon villain reputation, I do kind of question your motives. Well, thanks, John. I appreciate that. Now, I don't think John is in leadership anywhere. He probably hasn't had to deal with any of this in his church or anything like that. Maybe he's just, doing his thing. I don't know. But
just as a fact check here, John Harris is in leadership at a church. I can't quite keep straight what the situation is because, he's in a period of transition what he's doing in the local church, but he is in leadership in a local church. So, okay, come on, James.
Let's make this clear again. And some other folks have been, they write to Wolf. Will you debate James White on, what do you want to debate James White on? And blah, 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 blah. What has happened over the past, number of months is whenever this comes up, I go, what are we supposed to debate? He's a political philosopher. I'm not. He's not an exegete. He's not a theologian. He's not an apologist. I don't think he reads Greek or Hebrew. And as far as, I've never seen him do a debate. Who has he debated? So what does he want to debate?
Okay, first of all, who has he debated? He did just do a debate with David Reese at the Right Response Ministries Conference. Could have been Jeff Durbin. But he was playing. Anyway, I really shouldn't reference memes from like 2014. But his reasoning starting out is he's not an apologist. He doesn't speak Greek or Hebrew that he knows of. He's a political philosopher and all this other stuff. And therefore, these different things that they can't debate because of these qualifying aspects of what he is and what James White is, they can't do a debate. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? You couldn't debate, say, Stephen Wolf over what Calvin's position on X, Y, and Z is, or the idea of sacralism that you've been pushing as a bad thing or even a thing. So you couldn't debate these things with Stephen Wolf, but you'll debate whether black people can be sanctified with Corey Mailer. Like, are we serious? Are you a serious debate me, bro? Anyway, because that is what James White is. He's a debate me, bro. And some people like that. Those people have their roles. But the debate me, bro won't debate Stephen Wolf. And that, again, why? Why is the question? And I need to say this now. That shirt is really gay. And it is a distraction how gay that shirt is. So when James White wants to present himself as super serious and then wear a shirt that is that gay, and I'm going to help him out, some free advice, you need to wear, you just write "no homo" on your forehead if you're going to wear a shirt that is that gay. And this kind of goes back to a statement on modesty. Male modesty is a little bit different of an issue than female modesty. You shouldn't wear that to church because it's just immodest. You're trying to draw attention to yourself. You're not dressing for the role you want. Like, if you want to be a debate me, bro, you want to be taken seriously on the internet, you want to castigate younger men on the internet, you can't be wearing a shirt that is flaming and just absolute cringe, giving the Matt Chandler vibes at all. You got to dress for the role you want. And if you want to castigate younger men, you can't be wearing shirts like that. Come on.
He's taking shots at me about sacralism. He mocks the need for the work of the Spirit to actually bring about any kind of Christian society. And so he you know, promotes Christian princes and sacralism, and he mocks sacralism, but he's promoting sacralism, which is why he mocks it, by the way. So, I mean, he mocks presuppositionalism. He mocks theonomy. So look, I know Jeff Durbin would love to debate Stephen Wolf on theonomy, but I don't think Stephen Wolf would ever debate Jeff on.
Again, Jeff Durbin had his chance to debate Stephen Wolf on theonomy. He wouldn't share a stage or platform with him. That's on Jeff Durbin. They would have had that debate last month at the very latest. So that's cap.
And I debate him on apologetic methodology. I debate Frank Turek on it. I debate Stephen Wolf on it. I defend presuppositionalism. In fact, I would defend presuppositionalism as being consistent with, for example, Calvin's, you know, book one of the Institutes. You go, well, yeah, but Calvin wasn't a presuppositionalist. Well, Calvin was dealing in a Christian society. You didn't have secularism at that point in time. But the consistent application of the principles that Calvin enunciates in book one would lead you, as it led Van Til and others, to a presuppositional perspective. That's how you have to deal with this. So I could defend that. That would be easily done. I don't think he's going to do that. He's not an apologist. This is not his field.
I actually think Stephen Wolf is a very effective apologist when he wants to be. But as far as he couldn't do that debate, I think he could. You just haven't asked.
He can make statements about, you know, where he sets himself up as the authority, but he's not an authority in these things. So what are we supposed to debate? And so he has suggested would simply having a large number of Christian people in a society be enough to form a society? And I'm like, that sounds like a criticism against the post-millennial perspective. You get 70-80% of the people in a society truly regenerate. You get unity in the church. But what would that result in? What does Isaiah 42 say? The coastlands seek after your Torah, after your laws. They're looking for God's law. That would take you back to theonomy.
Speaking of theonomy, I don't think James White is actually a theonomist. But before that, the point about that Stephen Wolfe was making is that there's more to a society than just religion. And the main example that he gives is language. Like, if you have a bunch of people, but they all speak different languages and can't understand each other, even if they're all regenerate, you couldn't form a society. That is the point that Stephen Wolfe is making. But James White doesn't want to understand that. Like, it's pretty easy. Like, even someone who doesn't have a doctorate, whether accredited or not, can understand that point. Why can't James White understand that point? Understand the argument. Understand the steel man position. And that's not even the steel man, because that's not a complete articulation of Wolfe's position. But at least understand what he's talking about when you make a reference in passing.
So maybe a way of doing it would be some concrete historical examples. I mean, I am the professor of church history at Grace Bible Theological Seminary. So,
Rip.
How about the imprisonment of Fritz Erba by Lutheran authorities and the execution of Miguel Servetus by Genevan authorities were in error, were wrong, or were a proper exercise of a Christian prince, since he's into being a Christian prince. Okay? How about that? Now,
how, as a theonomist, would you argue against the execution of heretics? That makes no sense. That really does not make any sense. You know, Deuteronomy 13. How on earth, as a theonomist, could you argue against executing heretics? It does not make any sense to call yourself a theonomist and be against enforcing the first table of the law, which includes Commandment 1.
I'm doing the debate with Mahler online, because otherwise it would be 2026 before I could do it. But I much prefer in person. I really, really do. You know, I'm looking at the camera here. It looks like I'm looking at you, but I'm not. I'm not even looking at Rich. Rich is just a little bit over to the right. I've learned over the...
I actually believe this point. This is the most valid excuse he has given, and it is valid to say, I want to do it in person and my calendar is booked for the next year. That is the most valid thing he said as far as why he won't, and it's not a can, it's a won't, debate Stephen Wolfe. Because I imagine he put out the offer to debate Corey Mailer, not the other way around.
The years to recognize little smiles and stuff like that, and I'm only looking at the periphery, sticking the tongue out, things like that. It's just over the periphery of my vision. It's a skill you develop over the years. There's something different about being in person. There really is. I would rather do it that way. My understanding is that he lives in North Carolina, so you know, I'm sitting here going, well, it would be well down the road, and maybe a lot of stuff will happen between now and then. But if it's an important enough topic, maybe something could be worked out in the spring next year, about a year from now. And for most people, it's like, no one's even going to be thinking about this a year from now. Well, if it's an important subject, they better be. You know, if it's not the internet, where, you know, the big, huge thing of today is forgotten in 6 months, it's no longer even relevant. That's not the kind of stuff I'm really into. You're like, well, you're debating Mahler. Yeah, Mahler's repackaging a lot of the same arguments that Dr. Mell, the fourth president of the Southern Baptist Convention, presented in 1844. That means it's been around, coming up on 200 years. And so...
I just want to reiterate that the founding of the Southern Baptist Convention was just, and we should not apologize for it. They were theologically correct, and the Northern Baptists were not. And what happened to the Southern Baptists, and what happened to the Northern Baptists? What Northern Baptists is what your next question will be. Because they don't exist anymore, because they were corrupt. In the North, we have... You know, the Baptist churches are called Bible churches. That's kind of how it works. So, anyway, the Southern Baptist Convention, I think, was vindicated. Its founding was vindicated, my opinion. But, you know, John Harris wrote a book on that.
So if you're repackaging it and presenting it, then that means it's something that probably needs to be dealt with again. So, yeah, that's a long-term thing. And so I'm just sort of like, well, John, you have no basis for questioning my motives, because I've said over and over again, what are we supposed to debate? What are we supposed to debate? And people just shut up. They just get silent. They want to see the fight, but they're not bright enough to realize what they want the fight to be about. It's just as long as people are beating somebody else up.
I 100% think he's capping here as well. When he says, what do you want us to debate? I'm sure there's a, if you were to post a comment, if you were to post a question, what should me and Stephen Wolf debate? I guarantee you'll get a bunch of legitimate answers in the replies. Like, this is such crap that he's spewing here that, oh, there's nothing for us to debate. There's plenty of stuff for you to debate.
So I don't know, you know, I'm not sure if it'd be worthwhile to do something online that would not actually mean anything. And I think when people have to invest time, energy, and money to make a debate happen, I think it sort of impacts, you know, if it's just a matter of sitting down in front of a, now I'm investing a lot of time in this upcoming one. No, no two ways about it. And it's only 2 hours long. So, you know, we're investing time in it, but still, that's what I'd be looking forward to, looking toward. So there's a possibility, you know, Servetus and Fritz Erba, both, one was executed, one died in prison, but they were sacral executions. And I would say that was not something that was glorifying to Christ or appropriate. I know why it happened. I do understand it. I understand sacralism. And if you watch the little video that I did on YouTube on Fritz Erba, I make it very clear. I think that the people who imprisoned Fritz Erba were all Christians and will someday embrace in heaven. That's hard for a lot of people to understand. But I believe that. I don't think there's any way around it. Man. Next thing, shifting gear.
All right, so there is James White giving his answers. I think his best answer was that the debate needs to be in person. But also, let me just say, it's probably more useful that it's not. I mean, or at least, and he treats like, oh, it's only 2 hours, like that's a short period of time. Like, now anything longer than 2 hours, in my opinion, is just not frankly productive. But those are my thoughts on that. The most effective debates I see on social media, like YouTube being social media, about 2 hours. Like, you don't really need to go 4 hour debates. I think the demand for 2 hour debates is much higher, and therefore it would be much more useful to see. So those are my thoughts on that. So the online debate for 2 hours, I think it's fine and dandy. Not sure why it doesn't need to be in person. It really doesn't. It's unless technology and internet is in question, then yeah, let it be in person. But not really a fan otherwise of these excuses. Those are just my opinions. I'm not much of a debater, just because I don't care for apologetics debates much. Those are just my thoughts. We don't do a whole lot of apologetics debates around here. It's more discernment, it's more news, it's more commentary on news and stuff like that. So it's not my thing to be the debate me bro. Maybe there's a alternative timeline where that's the path I go down. It's very possible that I would have gone down that path, but it just did not turn out that way. God wants me doing other things than being a debate me bro. Not that there's nothing, not that debate me bros are bad. Like, Other Paul is great, and he really likes James White. So those are my thoughts. I think the debate doesn't need to be in person. Let's do it online, and let's not create a bunch of excuses for why the debate can't happen. Maybe we should goad Stephen Wolf into calling his bluff here, because I think there's some bluffing going on. So those are my thoughts. My name is Ray, the Evangelical Dark Web. If you like this kind of content, do also subscribe to the channel, to the podcast if you are new. Have a blessed day. Stay based. Christ is King. And we will catch you on the next one.